Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Karen Scharf, co-chair of the Working Families Party and executive director of Citizens Action. Karen Scharf is a pistol when it comes to her work in public policy and in the way in which our politics are progressing. Karen, welcome.
Thank you.
Karen, I guess the big issue is the Working Families Party. Tell us a little bit. You should be proud of what has been achieved here. We used to have something called the Liberal Party. It fell into disrepute, to put it mildly.
Yes.
And people got into trouble. But the Working Families Party is row D, fourth amount of votes after the Republicans, the Democrats, the conservatives, and then you. And you're going up. A recent poll showed that Andrew Cuomo, if he ran against just the Republican, who we had on this air last week, Rob Astorino, would beat him by 30 points. But if the Working Families Party, which is why you're sitting here this week, were to field their own candidate, any candidate, basically, an unnamed candidate, he would only be winning by 15%. And I believe that the statistic was that you'd get 23% of the vote? 24% of the vote.
Equals Astorino.
Yeah, rounding up. Okay, so that gives you a lot of power. Now, who funds the Working Families Party? Is it the unions?
It's a mixture of different funding. Before I answer that, let me just step back for one second for the sake of your listeners, but just to explain a little how this works.
Of course.
So as people, I think, know, New York has what's called the minor parties, Working Families Party, Conservative Party, used to be the Liberal Party. People say the Liberal Party died because it was no longer liberal, no longer a party, both of which were true. The Working Families Party was created to take advantage of a fact in New York State election law, which allows candidates to have the support of more than one party. So you can be a Democratic candidate running for office in the Democratic Party, and if you get the endorsement of the Working Families Party, then your name appears when people go to vote on both the Working Families line, row D, as you said, and on the Democratic line, or could be the Republican line and the Working Families line. And both the Conservative Party on the one side and the Working Families Party on the other side have used this fact of New York election law to try to really move the major party candidates more in our direction. So Working Families Party was created by a coalition of labor unions and community organizing groups like Citizen Action in order to have a ballot line that people would want. And when they came to us and wanted that ballot line, we would be able to ask them what they stood for. And we have a platform that is focused on economic and racial justice, and we ask candidates to support that platform. And because they want our ballot line, they're more likely to support it. And then also, once people are in office, we can assess whether they do things in office that really are the advantage of working families rather than their wealthy donors. And those are the kind of things that we need to look at when we're supporting them. And so the whole point of having the Working Families Party is really to create support for a progressive agenda, which, you know, the simplest version is good jobs, good schools, good government. Good government meaning a government that's responsive to the voters and to ordinary New Yorkers, not just to wealthy donors, and a fair tax system to pay for it. So that's what we're looking for, and that's what we try to get candidates to support. And when people are in office, we look to see whether they have supported it when they come to us for our support. And the Working Families Party, as I said, was started by a coalition of labor unions and community organizing groups in order to promote a pro-labor, pro-community, pro-working families agenda.
Well, you know, sometimes within that very good praise you just gave, there can be some room for dissonance. So, for example, the labor unions might have a different view of what's good for the state than, for example, some of what we call the progressive community. And it's up to you to sort of reconcile all that, right?
That's right. Like any party, even one that's based on, you know, a clear platform of economic justice, there's a broad range of views, just as there is in the public. There's a broad range of views. It's not always the labor unions one, progressive activists another. Sometimes it breaks that way. Sometimes it breaks within our own organization. Sometimes it breaks different unions have different views, because issues can be complicated and not so simple. If we know our bottom line is we want the standard of living to be better for ordinary New Yorkers, for poor people and working people, and that's the bottom line that we're looking for. And sometimes people may disagree on the specifics of how to get there, but we all agree that that's where we're trying to get.
Well, yes. Let's take the present case. Andrew Cuomo is running again for governor. We know that he is a guy who has taken a more conservative view on things like the very taxes you were talking about to pay for the government that you're talking about. Yet he's done some things that I'm sure you very much approve of, you know, gay rights, guns, perhaps, and some of these other things. Nevertheless, it's got to be pretty heady for you to be in this sort of driver's seat where clearly he has to come to you to find out what your price is. Now, that's exactly what happened with the Liberal Party, and it led to their downward spiral. People began to get, one way or another, bought off. How do you avoid that?
I think that one of the real strengths of the Working Families Party is that it's a coalition of labor and community organizing groups. So all of us in the leadership of the party have a base that we're accountable to. Whether or not someone wants to give me a job, it doesn't really matter because that's not what my members care about. It's not what my board cares about. And the same for all the unions in the party. They need to deliver for their members, not for individuals. And I think the downfall of the Liberal Party was many reasons, but in large part because it didn't have any core values that stood for in the end and no longer really was liberal. And it was all about getting jobs for specific people. The WFP is never going to be in that situation because we're very focused on an issue agenda and a program that's going to improve the lives of our members and of ordinary New Yorkers. And that allows us to keep a focus, even when there's hard decisions to be made, on what's the best way to get to that outcome.
Well, I'm sure you're not going to comment on this, but I'm going to tell you that I'm quite sure that Andrew Cuomo has called you up and is trying to convince you to support him and to nominate him, even though there are many people in your coalition who think basically he's gone too conservative. And so with that said, I have a question for you. What are you going to do?
So the decision on whether who to endorse for governor is made by our state committee on May 31st.
We have you're a very powerful person. You're going to make recommendations. You're going to tell them what you think, right?
When the time comes on May 31st.
Well, you're not going to tell us now?
No, I'm still assessing the situation. We've been actually, as you know, we sent out an email polling.
You know you're beginning to sound like them.
I don't think so. I think it's clear what I stand for. And I think what I have to assess, as does the whole party and our entire state committee, is in the end, what's the best way to accomplish our goals in terms of our issue program? And as you said, the governor has been very good on some issues, and we've completely disagreed with him on other issues. And then there's some issues where we agree, but like public funding of elections, but we haven't gotten the results that we want. And we're going to have to look at that entire set of things on May 31st when we come to make our vote.
Okay, so Karen Scharf, let's go back to that very point you just made, which is there are some things we disagree with him about. What are they?
As you said, taxes. We think that we've got to have a government that is able to adequately fund our schools and our social services and our fire departments and our police. And he's had a philosophy that we need to cut taxes and cut spending. And that has really hurt our public schools across the entire state. And I live in upstate New York. I see it especially. We organize a lot of parents in upstate New York who feel that their schools have really been hurt over the past 4 years. And the same is true of a lot of municipalities, county and city and town and village governments, where you just, you can't pay for the fire and police anymore. You can't fix the roads. And so we disagree on tax and spending policy.
Is that huge? I mean, in other words, I always teach my students about political saliency. What is it that you really can't ignore? Is taxes number one on the list, on your list?
I think the impact of taxes is number one. Like taxes by itself, everybody would like to pay lower taxes. Nobody loves paying taxes. But what's important is the impact. People want good schools. They want good jobs in their community, and they want local governments that can afford to provide basic fire, police, roads, etc. And as that's gotten squeezed, that becomes a very salient issue for folks.
So how do you explain that to the governor?
The governor, like any governor, has made choices based on what he believes is best for the state and best for his role.
Or his pollsters.
Combination of what, and obviously he's looking to see what the public thinks. Mm-hmm. The public wants lower taxes without understanding necessarily always the effect of that. They don't like the effect of it. They're willing to pay higher taxes if they understand it's going to affect their schools. So he's made his choices. We'll have to make our choices based, as I said, on the combination of that, the things he's supported where the state has really moved forward. And then these in-between things like public funding of elections has been a very big issue for the party because we believe it crosses all of these issues, that the decisions that are being made that go against the interests of ordinary New Yorkers are really being influenced by the pay-to-play culture in our legislature.
Well, I agree with you, of course, you know that. But I may not agree with you about where the governor is on all of this. I happen to have a philosophy, and I'll probably get a call on this, which is that the Republicans control the state Senate. You got to sort of follow along with this. I know you know this already, but the Republicans control the state Senate because the governor put them there. I believe that the governor, by not vetoing the scandalous reapportionment bill, which allowed them to draw their own districts, and he said in the campaign it was his number one issue that he wouldn't do that. So they're there. I think we can point to other things, the rise of the so-called Independent Democratic Conference or caucus, IDC, under Jeff Klein. I believe to this day that the governor could call them all in and shake his finger at them and say, you guys get back where you belong with the Democrats. And then all these things which I say I want, like a women's agenda and fair campaign financing and all the rest of it, would be done. But instead, he's got this self-made boogeyman sitting up there. Does this cause any concern for you? So you, in other words, you started this. I'm sorry, Karen, yeah. I'm talking too much. But you started by saying, we know he's for it. I don't know that he's for it. I think if he was for it, the Republicans wouldn't be sitting up there.
I think that in the end, all of these things come down to what actually gets done. And so I think that if the governor, I think that the governor is trying to get public financing elections passed, and I would like to see him succeed. I agree with you that the IDC Republican structure is a huge barrier to that, because I think when you know, we went through the budget process, the governor put public funding of elections in his proposed budget. It came out in the negotiations. Who was in that negotiating room with the governor? The Assembly, which supports it.
Yeah.
The IDC, which supports it, and the Republicans who oppose it. Had that room instead been a Democratic leader of the Senate, and the Assembly and the governor, we would have had three supporters of public funding negotiating with each other to pass public funding. And so there is a fundamental problem that we have a Senate that we're a minority. There's only 29 Republican senators out of 63 senators, but yet they get to, in the end, have veto power. And that is a serious problem in our ability to get progressive legislation passed.
But do you agree with me that if he didn't want the Republicans sitting there, that they wouldn't be sitting there?
I would hope that this year, as the governor runs for re-election and is the top of the Democratic ticket, that he's going to support the entire Democratic slate and help the Senate Democrats take those seats. I don't know what he's going to do, but I would hope that that's what he does.
Well, what would the Working Families Party do if he didn't do that?
I mean, we're going to make our decisions about endorsements of senators, you know, separately, obviously. We'll be endorsing a lot of both incumbent senators who have been very good on our issues and challengers against the ones who have not been good on our issues. And that's what we did 2 years ago. We were able to pick up several seats 2 years ago by endorsing CeCe Katchick, Terry Gibson, Ted O'Brien. I hope to
CeCe Katchick won by 18 votes.
That's right. And we worked. She was our top priority in the
both
state. We worked very
votes.
Hard for her. And I live in her district, and I'm very proud of my state senator. And I'm determined to see her reelected. And I think it's very important that we support those candidates who support an agenda for, you know, basically what I would call the working families Democrats. To me, the Democratic Party has two branches right now, the working families Democrats and the corporate Democrats. And what we're trying to do with the Working Families Party is elect working families Democrats and also get more Democrats to be working families Democrats instead of corporate Democrats. And that's, again, why public funding of elections has been such a core issue for us, really, since the party was founded 15 years ago, because what we see is what's moved the Democratic Party toward the corporate Democrats is the high level of contributions that people have to raise in order to run for office. They go to people that have it, and the 1% of the 1% who actually give campaign contributions shape the entire agenda and shape the philosophy of the Democratic Party. And it's our job to keep pulling them back to being working families Democrats.
The reason I wanted you so badly to be here was because I keep, and so does everybody who's talking to me. There are a lot of people who say to me, oh, they're going to sell out. Cuomo will find their price, give them something that they want, and they won't dare endorse another Democrat because he has to win big if he wants to run for president, or he has to win big in order to go. So this sellout question is one that must plague you.
Yeah, the Working Families Party is not going to sell out. The Working Families Party is going to make its decision based on issues. And what we have to look at is, as I said, the combination of what issues do we agree with the governor on, what do we disagree, what is he willing to do in the next term, and what is he willing to do as part of the election campaign, and what his platform is going to be. And those are the things that we have to look at. If we endorse him, it will be because he agrees to be strong on the issues that are in our platform and that we care about. If we endorse somebody else, it will be because he's not strong enough on those issues that we care about.
Okay, let's go down the list. Fracking.
Right. WFP is opposed to fracking.
You're opposed to fracking. In your mind, do you think the governor's opposed to fracking?
He so far has stopped fracking in New York State.
He has.
The only state that's done that. That's an accomplishment of the fracking movement. I hope that he will stick to that position. Would love to see him actually ban fracking.
We did see him in the very beginning, did we not, making comments that sounded suspiciously like he was for fracking, didn't we?
It seemed like we were heading in that direction for a while. You know, we are, Citizen Action is and WFP have both been active in the anti-fracking movement. We have Citizen Action is a very large chapter in the Southern Tier right on the shale. And so it's a very big issue for our members, some of whom are directly personally going to be affected if those drills go in their neighborhoods. And so we feel very strongly that we've got to stop fracking in New York because people's lives are literally at stake. And I think it's the anti-fracking movement has done an incredibly good job of gradually building that public opinion to be on their side. It's gotten more and more on their side, and also of holding up the decision in New York State. And I do worry that, you know, we're not there yet. All we have is a delay. We don't yet have a decision. We really need to have a ban.
And you're holding his feet to the fire, the governor's feet to the fire?
Yep.
All right. We'll see. What's happening with the unions? And you have insight into this because you're close. We see my friend Dick Iannuzzi. He loses his presidency, I think, because his rank and file felt he wasn't aggressive enough in terms of fighting with the governor. We see the Public Employees Union, PEF, which tends to throw out leaders on a fairly regular basis, throwing out a leader. We see Danny Donahue at the state's largest CSEA, Public Service Union, call the governor a monkey and gets reelected with ease. Our union members now, and I just talked to one yesterday who said, the governor has turned me into a purple, meaning that I could vote for a Republican just because I'm so angry at him.
Wow.
What do you sense there?
As you say, it's clearly a lot of unhappiness among the public sector workforce, including teachers.
And that's a big part of your constituency.
It's a big
right?
part of our constituency, and it's a big part of the Democratic constituency. And I think that for people are frustrated at what's happened to their working conditions, their wages, their benefits, and the way that they're being treated. I know that the education side of it the best because we work so much on education issues. And every teacher I talk to is incredibly frustrated right now because they feel like they've been, attacked for being unsuccessful, but they haven't been given the tools for success. Instead, they've been given more tests,
right.
more requirements, more mandates, and no actual resources and support for help.
Well, which you and I can agree with on a policy position, but what if Astorino is the candidate and Cuomo is the candidate? Those teachers aren't going to vote for Astorino.
That's right.
But if the Working Families Party puts somebody up, there's a very good chance that those teachers would vote for that person.
I think that's true, and that the poll that you cited did show that, I think it said it was among union households, it was about 34% would vote for the alternative.
Okay, let's go to the New York SAFE Act, gun control. Boy, I got some gun owner friends. They are furious about this. I wrote a column saying that the governor deserved the badge of honor for this. Where are you guys?
It's not been an issue that either Citizen Action or Working Families has focused on. I personally think the SAFE Act was a good thing. I think the governor was very courageous to do it and to take that hit. It certainly has hurt him in upstate New York. I live in upstate. I have a lot of friends and neighbors who strongly disagree with him on this. I think it was essential to pass it, and I think more needs to be done on that.
I'm not a big fan of casinos, are you?
Nope.
We think, don't we, Karen? I think. I don't want to speak for you, but I think we think that this is going to be punitive towards poor people.
Yeah, I think casinos, the general track record around the country is that it's not good for, there's a gambling addiction problem. It's not good for poor people. It certainly will create jobs in the state, and that's a valid point that the governor and the casino supporters have made. You know, we do need jobs, and it is one way to create jobs. It's not my first choice of how to create jobs, but it will do that.
But given a choice, if you wanted a better system of progressive taxation with richer people paying more as opposed to casinos, you'd do that.
Yes. I mean, I think that progressive taxation, which basically means people pay according to what they can afford, is the best way to fund government. It's the way that is fairest to people who are paying taxes, and it's the way that produces enough revenue, if you tax people fairly, to provide for what our society needs, whether it's, decent wages and benefits for public sector workers, whether it's enough money in local aids that people can hire firefighters and police, or whether it's funding our schools adequately so that our kids can get a decent quality education, have an opportunity for success in life. And the best way to fund all of those things that we all, I'd say, virtually all New Yorkers feel we need, the best way to fund that is with a fair tax system where those who are making a lot of money pay a fair share of those taxes into the government.
Well,
to
Bill
fund
de Blasio said that. That's what he wanted. He got his head handed to him.
Right. Bill de Blasio was right. The best way to fund full-day pre-K would have been a tax on the wealthiest New Yorkers. People who make over $500,000 a year, who the mayor wanted to tax at a very small amount, would not have even noticed that difference in their taxes, and it would have produced enough money to fund full-day pre-K and after-school in New York City. The rest of the state doesn't have the funds to do that locally, but that's where the state needs a progressive tax in order to fund full-day pre-K statewide.
Yeah, there's a big proposal, and in fact, it's beginning to happen already, that downtown Albany is becoming the oil distribution center of the state and the region. You guys have a position on that?
Yeah, we're very concerned about the existing oil traffic in Albany, in neighborhoods where we have members and where we do a lot of organizing, as well as outside of Albany. Those trains don't just come to Albany, they come through our whole region. Clearly very dangerous from the accidents that have happened across the country. I think this is actually a place where the governor has done a good job, where he quickly, immediately asked his agency to step in and see what could be done at the state level to further regulate and protect people from disasters. We've got to stop the expansion of the oil trains in Albany and really look at not only just stopping the expansion, but looking at what can be done about the unsafe trains that are already coming through our neighborhoods.
So in the end, you've got to sit on the telephone and you've got to take the telephone calls from the governor's office, from the second floor, as we say. You've got to hear from the progressive community who has some real reservations about this governor. I can predict what's going to happen. My prediction will be, and I've been wrong many times, but my prediction will be that you will endorse the governor. You know, he's tough, And you don't want to be on the other end of the phone when you have a very angry Andrew Cuomo with you. I think we've all experienced that, or some of us have. And so, I mean, the facade could be nice, but we know that he's directed, that he's strategic, and that he knows what he's doing. So how do you summon the inner resources, Karen Scharr, to be able to deal with that?
First, I want to say I don't know where we're going to end up. I think it could go either way.
No, I do. I didn't say you did.
I know. I just want to clarify that I don't know where we're going to end up. It could go either way. The decision's not going to be made till May 31st. We have a lot of internal process to go, and we've got 4 months of legislative act, 4 weeks left of legislative action. I hope we're going to see passage of a serious, real public funding of elections.
Will we?
I don't know, but I hope we will, and because that would make a real difference, in my opinion.
This guy's going to have $50 million in the bank. How can he possibly be for this?
He's for it. He says he's for it. He says he's working on it. It's not going to take effect this year.
The difference between say and do is...
Well, that's why I say I hope we see passage of public funding of elections before, you know, in the next 4 weeks of the legislative session.
The Republican State Senate going to help you with that? No.
We'll see.
Come on, stop.
We'll see. But in any case, there's 4 weeks. A lot of things can happen in 4 weeks legislatively. I hope some good things happen. That would certainly have an influence on our state committee. And then in terms of your... To directly answer your question of the personal question of the inner resources, for me, the purpose of citizen action is to fight for economic, racial, social, and environmental justice. And for me, what I have to think of every night when I go to bed and every morning when I wake up is that's my job.
So you got two hats. You got citizen action, this progressive sort of group, major group. And then you have this other hat, which is the Working Families Party, which are two very different things.
They're not that different. I mean, they're different. We are one part of Working Families is bigger than Citizen Action and is broader than Citizen Action. But the goals of Citizen Action are also very much the goals of Working Families Party. And my job, to me, as co-chair of Working Families Party, is to carry the Citizen Action program and values into Working Families Party and to promote that within the party and to get the party to promote it and stick to those core values. And that's what Citizen Action started the party, is to have a party where we could have a voice and where ordinary New Yorkers who we organize and represent could have a voice. And so my goal as director of Citizen Action, but also as co-chair of the Working Families Party, is to make sure that both organizations every day are really focused on those core values and that core goal of fighting for and electing people to office who will fight for everyday New Yorkers, not the 1%.
Well, Karen Scharr, first of all, congratulations. You've come a long way and you've achieved a great deal. And we'll all be watching you. And I know that this is not easy work, but, you know, somebody's got to do it, and you're doing it, and we appreciate that. We're out of time. Our guest has been Karen Scharr, co-chair of the Working Families Party and executive director of Citizens Action. Karen, again, thank you so much for joining us today. And we hope you'll come back real soon and tell us about progress.
Thank you, Alan.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.